The King and the Ark.
Now that David was firmly established upon the throne of Israel and free from the invasion of foreign foes, there was great rejoicing everywhere in Israel.
Now we have a king after God's own heart, a king who will dispense justice and mercy and long-suffering in accordance with God's will.
Do you know what I heard in the marketplace today?
No, what?
That King David is already starting out to do something that has been a cherished hope in his heart ever since he was a young boy.
Well, I can't imagine what it is.
To bring the Ark of God to Jerusalem.
Oh, that. I heard that, too. And it certainly cannot be denied that Jerusalem is the place for it. The capital should be honored by the presence of the Ark, a token of divine presence.
The occasion shall be a scene of great rejoicing. I shall summon 30,000 of the leading men of Israel to be on hand, and priests, princes, and elders of the tribes. All who hold a position of trust in any tribe will be invited, plus all the common people. Oh, what an imposing display and scene of gladness it'll be. Scribe, send for the high priest. He shall make all the arrangements for the moving of the ark. You may come forward, Your Grace.
Long live the king.
Your Grace, the Ark of God now rests in the sanctuary at Kirjath-Jearim, where the Philistines left it.
I know, Your Majesty.
It's long been a cherished ambition of mine to have it brought here to Jerusalem, the capital city.
This is where it rightly belongs, Your Majesty.
Then it shall be done. I'm placing you in charge of the actual moving of the Ark. I shall see to the various ceremonies and instruct the dignitaries who will be in attendance. It will be a great day for Israel.
Seem like there'd be this many people in all Israel.
And King David is the happiest of them all. He and all the people.
Hear ye, people of Israel. The Ark of the Covenant is now being brought forth from the house of Abinadab.
So that's the Ark.
That's the Ark. The very same one that was built at Mount Sinai and brought through the wilderness to this land of Canaan. It contains the two tablets of stone upon which God wrote with his very own finger the Ten Commandment Law. It is the same holy instrument that God...
The Ark is now being placed on a new cart that has been built especially for this occasion.
Why do they place it on a new cart?
I'm not sure, but I suppose it's because that is how the Lord God of Israel commanded that his ark be moved from place to place.
Did they move it across the wilderness on a cart?
Well, it doesn't seem like they did, yet I'm not quite sure.
People of Israel, the two sons of Abinadab shall attend the moving of the ark. Ahio shall be before it, leading the oxen, while Uzzah shall go behind. At the sound of the trumpets, let the procession into Jerusalem begin.
The joyous procession, led by the oxen-drawn cart upon which rests the Ark of God, makes its slow way toward Jerusalem. When they come to Nacon's threshing floor, where the ground is rough, the oxen stumble, shaking the cart. Uzzah, fearing for the safety of the ark, reaches out with his hand to steady it.
Uzzah has fallen to the ground.
He appears to be dead, Your Majesty.
High priest!
Yes, Your Majesty.
What happened?
Uzzah reached out and touched the holy ark, Your Majesty, and was struck dead.
Yes, I see that, but why? Why?
The only answer I have to that, Your Majesty, is that... it must be a judgment of God against Uzzah for some sin he has done.
Some sin I've committed. Or you, or Israel.
That is possible, Your Majesty.
This is a terrible calamity. I fear to take the Ark on to Jerusalem. Let it remain here, if suitable place can be found.
Very well, Your Majesty. We shall begin an immediate search.
Begging His Majesty's pardon,
yes?
But I shall be happy to keep the Ark in my home.
Oh, what is your name? Where do you live?
My name is Obed-Edom, and I live right over there, Your Majesty.
You are willing that the Ark shall be placed in your home?
I would welcome its sacred presence as a pledge of God's favor to the obedient, Your Majesty.
High priest, See that the Ark is taken to this man's home. Lend him every assistance in its care. High Priest, come forward.
Long live the king.
How long has it been since the Ark was left in Obed-Edom's home?
6 weeks, your majesty.
Only 6 weeks. And I'm told that already the blessings of God upon Obed-Edom and his household is obvious.
Yes, your majesty. Obed-Edom has been greatly blessed since the Ark was placed in his house.
Then the presence of the Ark is a blessing, not a curse.
Yes, your majesty. It seems to be in this case.
Or it can be a curse, as it was in Uzzah's case. If an explicit command of God is disobeyed or ignored, is that right, your grace?
It is, sire.
Then I'm convinced that we did something wrong. Something in direct opposition to God's will when we moved the Ark from Kirjath-Jearim. I intend to learn what that something is. Have the Book of Moses brought to me at once. I shall study it carefully and learn what was done wrong. Your Grace, I've discovered that your arrangements for the moving of the Ark were not entirely in keeping with God's instructions.
Oh? May I inquire which part of the arrangements His Majesty has reference to?
Now, the Ark was not to be carried in a cart drawn by oxen, but by priests, divinely appointed for that duty.
But, sire, the heathen Philistines have had the Ark carried all the way from their land to Kirjath-Jearim upon a cart without harm to any of them.
Yes, but they were ignorant of God's commands and were not held accountable.
So was I ignorant of that particular requirement, Your Majesty?
But you shouldn't have been. It's all written here in the Book of Moses, and you are accountable. And so am I. So was all Israel. Uzzah's particular sin was presumption. In direct disobedience to God's instruction, he presumed to touch the symbol of God's presence.
What are the instructions, Your Majesty?
Before moving it, the Ark is to be covered by 3 coverings. On each side of the Ark is a stave or pole fastened to the Ark by gold rings. These poles are the handles by which the priests are to carry the Ark upon their shoulders. High Priest, in view of the blessings upon Obed-Edom and his household, I've decided that the Ark might bring a blessing to me and my people if it were here in Jerusalem.
I'm sure it would, Your Majesty.
You will again make arrangements to have it brought here. This time, make certain that each requirement of God is carried out in every particular.
God's rebuke upon David had accomplished its work. He was led to realize, as he had never realized before, the sacredness of the law of God and the necessity of strict obedience. So, once again, the great men of Israel were summoned, and a vast assemblage gathered about the dwelling place of Obed-Edom. With reverent care, the ark was now placed upon the shoulders of men of divine appointment. The multitude fell in line, and with trembling, glad hearts, the vast procession set forth. As the triumphal procession approached Jerusalem, following the sacred symbol of their invisible king, the watchmen on the wall burst into joyful psalms.
Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of Glory shall come in.
Who is the King of Glory?
The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of Glory shall come in.
Who is the King of Glory?
The Lord of hosts. He is the King of Glory.
Open the gates.
Sons of Kohath, with the holy ark upon your shoulders, princes of the 12 tribes, elders, people of Israel, forward into the holy city of Jerusalem, and rejoice greatly, for this day hath blessing come to Jerusalem and to all Israel.
The happy procession entered the gates of Jerusalem, and, with renewed awe, the ark was deposited in the tent that had been prepared for its reception. Before the sacred enclosure, altars for sacrifice were erected. the smoke of peace offerings and burnt offerings, and the clouds of incense, along with the praises of Israel, ascended to heaven. In ending the services, King David himself gave the benediction.
Blessed be the Lord of Israel, for his presence is now in Jerusalem. The Lord loveth the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. Glorious things are spoken of thee, O city of God.
People, people of Israel, his majesty, great and mighty and just king of all Israel, has with regal bounty caused food and drink to be served for your refreshment. In the courtyard of the royal palace are tables piled high with food. Go there and be refreshed and enjoy yourselves, for this day is Israel blessed above all.
The solemn ceremonies attending the removal of the ark had made a lasting impression upon the people of Israel, arousing deeper interest in religious services and kindling anew their zeal for their God. David endeavored by psalms of praise and every means in his power to deepen and keep alive these impressions. And the Lord gave David rest from all his enemies round about him. As David reflected upon God's goodness to him and his watchful care over Israel, a new and wonderful thought came to his mind. Finally, he sent for Nathan the prophet.
You sent for me, Your Majesty?
Yes, Your Grace. You are a prophet of the living God, and I wish to seek of you counsel.
May the Lord Jehovah ever be your counselor, and may your reign be long and prosperous, Your Majesty.
The Lord has been very gracious to this nation. He's prospered the people and has set me over them as their king. Yet my mind is not at peace, for while I dwell in a beautiful house of cedar, the ark of God rests in a lowly tent. Therefore, I think that I should build a wonderful and beautiful temple for God to dwell in. It shall be a temple of such magnificence as will fittingly express Israel's appreciation for the blessing granted us in the abiding presence of Jehovah, our God.
Go, Your Majesty. Do all that is in your heart, for the Lord is with you.
The very next day,
Nathan, the prophet of God, to see his majesty David, king of Israel.
Long live the king. Long live the king.
Welcome to my court, Your Grace. I'm exceedingly happy for permission to build a house under the Lord. And I assure you that it will be an appropriate temple for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
That, Your Majesty, is why I am come, to talk to you about the temple.
In my mind, I can envision it already. It shall be located where all eyes may see it.
The Lord appeared to me last night in a vision.
Yes, and like he did with Moses of old, the Lord gave you the exact dimensions, location, even a blueprint of the temple I'm to build.
O King, the Lord spoke and commanded me to say to his majesty, go and tell my servant David, you shall not build me an house to dwell in.
The Lord said that?
Thus says the Lord of hosts, I took you from the pasture, from following the sheep, that you should be prince over my people Israel. And I have been with you wherever you went, and have cut off all your enemies from before you.
Yes, yes, surely the Lord has been good to me.
I will make for you a name like the name of the great ones of the earth, and I will appoint a place for my people Israel, that they may dwell in their own places, and violent men shall waste them no more as formerly. Moreover, I declare to you, David, that the Lord will build you a house.
The Lord God is very merciful to me and his people.
When your days are fulfilled, David, to go to be with your fathers, I will raise up one of your own sons. He shall build a house for me, and I will establish his throne forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son.
Then I'm not to build the temple?
Your son after you shall build the temple.
Thank you, Your Grace. I'm ready to submit my will to the will of God. As a leader of his people, I've shed much blood and have waged great wars.
It is because I have shed so much blood that the Lord has willed that my son shall build a temple in my stead.
May I withdraw, Your Majesty?
Yes. Permission granted.
Long live the king. Long live the king.
Scribe, there will be no more court today. I wish to go to my own quarters for meditation and prayer. Who am I, O Lord God? And what is my house that thou hast brought me thus far? Thou hast also spoken of thy servant's house for a great while to come. There is none like thee, O Lord. For thou, my God, hast revealed to thy servant that thou wilt build a house for him. Therefore, thy servant has found courage to pray before thee. For what thou, O Lord, hast blessed is blessed forever.
The Crippled Prince.
Now Jonathan, a son of Saul and a very dear friend of David, had a son whose name was Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth was 5 years old when the news concerning the death of Saul and Jonathan came from the battlefield, and his nurse took him up and fled.
Why are you running?
Because your life is in danger.
Will they kill us?
They might try to kill you.
Why?
Because your father and grandfather are dead. They were killed in the battle at Gilboa, and these mean men wouldn't want you to live to be king on your grandfather's throne. They'd kill you to become king themselves.
Who would?
Well, David, for one. He's been telling everyone that he will be king when your grandfather Saul dies. And now that he's dead, David will come here and kill anyone who stands in the way of him becoming king.
He must be a mean man.
Mean? Oh, I should say he is. He's been trying to kill your grandfather ever since your grandfather was kind enough to bring David into the royal palace as his personal musician.
I don't like David.
I don't like him either, my boy.
Where are we going?
I don't know. Just as far away from the royal palace as we can, so that David can't find...
I didn't mean to drop you,
Mephibosheth. Where do you hurt?
My legs.
I'm sorry I stumbled and fell. I must have broken your legs. Please, Mephibosheth, please don't cry. Princess, don't cry.
My legs hurt.
I've got to try to get help. But where? I don't dare go back to the palace. It'll be taken over by David's men by this time. What'll I do? I guess I'll just have to... I know. Yes. Yes, he'll help me. Are you afraid to stay here by yourself while I run for help?
Princes are never afraid.
Oh, good boy, Mephibosheth. I knew I could depend on you. I'm going to run down to one of the servants' houses. His name is Ziba. He'll help me, and he just lives the other side of that row of trees.
Please take me with you.
It would hurt your legs too much to pick you up.
No, take me with you. I won't cry. Honest, I won't. Oh,
all right. All right, Mephibosheth. Here, careful now. Hold on tight with your hands. That's it. Here we go. Oh, I hope Ziba's at home. Oh, he probably isn't home. It would be just our luck.
Yes? Who is it? Well, this is no time that... Oh, it's you. What are you doing? You have the prince.
Won't you please help us, Ziba?
My legs, they hurt awful.
I was running and I dropped him.
What?
We were running away from David.
Oh, I heard the news about King Saul. Quickly, come inside before someone sees you.
Here.
Now, lay the prince down here. Now, let's see if we can find out what's wrong with his legs. Let me see.
Ouch!
Oh, yes, I'm afraid they're broken, both of them.
Oh, isn't there anything we can do? Get the court physician, maybe?
Oh, that's too dangerous right now.
But what can we do? He may be crippled for life.
That's better than losing his life. Somehow we've got to get him away from here, secretly, as far away as possible.
Why can't you keep him here? Hide him. And then, when it's possible, get the court physician to care for his legs.
No. That's too dangerous. The place will be swarming with David's men by morning. But I think I know where he can be hidden. I know a loyal and true friend of the Saul family. But how to get there? Mephibosheth can't walk.
Oh, I'll carry him.
Nah, not that far. You couldn't.
Who are you talking about, and where?
Maker, the son of Amiel. He lives in Lodibar.
Oh, that would be too far to carry him.
Maker would hide Mephibosheth, all right. Treat him as one of his own sons. If we could just get him there. Can you drive an ox hitched to a cart?
I could lead an ox pulling a cart.
That's our only way. By morning, you'll be on the way to Lodibar, leading an ox cart loaded with hay. You're sure you know the way?
I'll get there all right.
Maybe I'd better commission one of my servants to go along.
I'll get there.
How does it feel up there on the hay, Prince Mephibosheth?
All right, but my legs hurt.
Ah, you're a brave little man, Prince. A true son of King Saul. And you'd better get going. Soon it'll be dawn.
Yes, sir. Giddy up. Giddy up now. Come on.
Let me know how His Highness the Prince gets along.
Goodbye. Goodbye.
Farewell, Prince Mephibosheth.
I'm hungry. When can we stop and eat?
I hear horses. Cover yourself up quickly, Mephibosheth. Oh, that was close. You can uncover yourself now, Prince.
Aren't we there yet?
I think this must be the home of Maker. We'll stop and inquire. Whoa, there. Whoa. How do you do, sir?
Greetings, madam. And who might you be, you and the boy?
Are you Maker?
I am Maker. What may I do for you?
Ziba sent me, and the boy.
Ziba?
He's a friend of yours, a servant to this boy's grandfather, King Saul.
Oh, that Ziba. Yes, I... Oh, his grandfather, King Saul.
Prince Jonathan was his father. Ziba said you'd take the prince in as one of your own sons, so that David and his men won't be able to get him.
That I will, gladly. Get down, Prince, from off the hay, and I'll take you in and let the family get acquainted with you.
He can't, sir. Well, you see, sir, as I was running from the royal palace carrying His Highness, I stumbled and fell and injured him. I think he broke both his legs.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'll have one of the servants to be with him at all times. His only duty will be to see that this new son of mine is cared for and gets around as he wishes.
Years later, after David had become king over all Israel...
Your name is Ziba?
It is, Your Majesty.
I'm also told that you would know if there's any member of Saul's family still living. A long time ago, I promised Saul's son, Jonathan, that if ever I came to the throne of Israel, I'd be kind to him, or any member of the royal family still living. I wish to keep that promise. Tell me, do you know if anyone is left? Is there?
Jonathan has a son, Your Majesty.
Jonathan, a son? Is he still living?
Yes, Your Majesty, but he... Well, he's a cripple, lame in both feet.
Well, where is he?
He lives with a man by the name of Machiar, son of Amiel, in Lodibar.
Scribe, send an envoy at once to get... What was his name?
Mephibosheth, Your Majesty.
Bring Mephibosheth here at once. And Ziba, you'd better go along, lest the young Mephibosheth think I wish to do him harm.
I am happy to, Your Majesty.
But it seems impossible that David would want to do a kindness to me. For years he tried to kill my grandfather. He usurped the throne.
But what you have heard is wrong, Your Highness. King David is a good and just man, a wonderful and just king. He and your father were close friends. Now he wishes to repay that friendship with kindness.
All right, I'll take your word for it. I'll go see the king.
And Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, came to David and fell on his face and did obeisance.
Mephibosheth.
I am Mephibosheth, thy servant.
Come forward, near to me.
I am at the mercy of His Majesty.
You have nothing to fear, Your Highness. Jonathan, your father, and I were bosom friends. For his sake, I will show you every kindness. For his sake, I herewith declare that all that belonged to Jonathan, your father, and Saul, your grandfather, shall now be yours. Ziba.
Yes, Your Majesty.
All that pertained to your master Saul shall now belong to Prince Mephibosheth. The prince is now your master. You and your sons and your servants will till his land, harvest his grain and fruit, and serve him. And as for you, Mephibosheth, you shall live in the royal palace, eat at the king's table, and be as one of my sons.
No wonder Father loved David. He's a wonderful man. Generous, kind, just.